Well, good morning to you all.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We greet you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First
Special
of all,
name.
We don't have the accent. You have the
yes.
accent. We speak English.
We speak English.
You've got so many different accents here, we really have a problem sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's good. Anyway, my name's Tony Lindsay, and I was born in England. But I left when I was 5 years old with my parents, and we immigrated to South Africa. Where I've stayed ever since. But we have since returned because most of our family actually live in the UK now, all of our children and our grandchildren. We do have a daughter and two grandchildren who live in Mozambique. I don't know if you know where Mozambique is. It's on the east coast of Africa. It's a very poor country, but that's where they live. But all of our children in the UK said, "Mom and Dad, what are you doing in South Africa when everybody's here?" Said, "Well, the sunshine." So we've come across to be with our children and to share with them and to encourage them. So, Liz, tell them who you are.
Right. Well, we left our beautiful land of sunshine behind because, we left our city that we were living in called Benoni, son of my sorrow, which is the word from the word. And we went to a beautiful little town called Thunderbale Park. Now, that's a big mouthful. If you ever want a safe password on your PC, it's Thunderbale Park.
Don't tell them our password.
You see, we are so transparent, we are so naked before anyone and the Lord, and I think that's just how God intends us all to be. Anyway, so we left this lovely town, and we went out to this little farm, and we were retiring to sit and do very little. We had our dogs and our cats, and we were just enjoying life when the Lord called us. And said, "It's time to uplift and move again." And I said, "Oh, yay. I can get to my children again." Because I've been coming over to the UK now for almost 9 years, every year, for a lengthy period of time, sort of between 3 months to 6 months, leaving my darling husband behind and looking after my daughter, who has triplet children. And one is with me now, and the two little boys have decided to stay home with daddy. For daddy time. Mommy's gone off to work. So it's wonderful to actually now be able to live with them in their home and to give up my independent, quiet life to a life of chaos with nine-year-olds. And it's wonderful. People say, "Why would you want to leave something that is so tranquil and so beautiful?" Because this is life. We're in a new stage of life, and it's marvelous. So our older people, find young children because it does rev you up. It gives you a sense of life. I grew up in a home, being a daughter and two older brothers, with a very dysfunctional family. I had a father that was abusive and violent, primarily with his words and silent treatment. I had a mother who was desperately trying to find something in life to give a sense of value and security and worth. And from this, I learned as a child growing up, I desperately need something to give me security. And my father never gave me any affection. So I went out as a teenager and did everything a young girl shouldn't do. And when we sing this song, these songs that we sang today about how the blood cleanses you, boy, I know what it feels like to feel defiled. At 12-year-old, being very promiscuous, searching, desperately wanting someone to love me, but finding it all in the wrong way. Coming back to my home, and my father would then present his little daughter, who was a budding 16-year-old girl, and saying to his friends, "Who would like her?" It was absolutely gut-wrenching. My mum and I left home because of the marriage breaking up. And we went off into Johannesburg area, and we started our life out again. Still the same cycle followed me all the way through my life, searching and searching for something and someone just to love me, someone to give me a hope, someone to give me value, someone to give me a destiny. And nobody ever told me that it's Jesus. Nobody. Not in all my life did I know who Jesus really was. I knew about him, but he was never real to me. My parents, when I was a young girl, actually went to a Methodist school, church. They took me along. And I remember seeing this minister standing in his robes, seeing the red carpet going down the pathway, thinking, there's a calling in my heart. I need to get there. But nobody took me by the hand and led me to Jesus. I then got married because I had to get married, because I wanted to be married and I wanted to be in a family and I wanted to find a husband who now would love me. Unfortunately, it never happens that way. But I have a daughter. I'm loving her to bits today because I'm finding she's my friend. We just bond together. We just love together. And I think I'm grateful because I had her so young. We now can be friends. I mean, people will walk around and say, talk to us as sisters. And I think, Michelle, am I old or are you getting old? Or am I young or what are we? But I enjoy the fellowship I have with my daughters now. I then had this wonderful encounter with Jesus. Because my marriage had now got to a point where I was walking out on this husband and three children. My mother had been praying for me. And she said, God, if there's one place that my daughter can find hope, and that's in the arms of Jesus, find her, Jesus. That's all I can do is you find her. I did not know how long my mother had been praying for me because she was not an outward Christian. She was very quiet. She had found salvation when we had left home. I left my husband. I went off and had numerous affairs. My mother then said to my husband, who had then gone to her and said, Mom, I don't know what to do with my wife. Please, can you help us? And my mother said, there's a course being held at the local church. Would you like to go? And that meant my husband would have to come along and drag me along to this course. I didn't want to go. I went kicking and screaming because in my heart of hearts, I wanted out of this marriage. I wanted out of being a mother. I wanted freedom. At 23, I wanted to be alive, as the world would say. And inside, nothing was filling my heart. So I go along to this course, and guess what they talk about, husbands and wives? And I look at my husband and say, you don't fit the bill. And he looked at me, and he looked at me, and he said, you don't fit the bill. And we said, well, what should we do? So we just divorced. So he said, no, let's stick this through. Let's see how we go. 13 weeks later, we remarried our lives to each other once again. We found Christ. We had forgiven each other. We had restored our lives, and life was beautiful. I cannot tell you the wonder of finding true love in the Lord Jesus Christ, but finding it in your husband again. He never once ever brought back my past. He never once said, you did this. He forgave me as Christ forgave me. And it was the most awesome feeling ever. 5 years later, he was killed in a motor car accident. And I was devastated. I was lost. I went to my pastor of a church that we were in. And I said to Tommy, can you help me? I don't really know how to do this journey. And he said, I'd never had a widow before. And the elders of the church came and said, we'd never had a widow before, so we don't know how to do this. So they left me. And I floundered and floundered and floundered and floundered and got lost along the way again. You know, the Holy Spirit never leaves you. When Jesus says, I am with you, he sticks with you. It doesn't matter how far you go. It really doesn't matter how far you go. And I fell again. But he came along through my crying out and saying, Jesus, I don't know where you are in this part of my life. It's a journey. You said you wouldn't leave me, but I'm lost again. God, I'm lost. And he just reached out his hand and he found me. And it was the most amazing experience to know it didn't matter what you had done. You know how we need to forgive ourselves so much. We need to forgive ourselves when we don't meet that high expectation that we set for ourselves and we fall. God is so merciful. God is so gracious. And then I began to pray and say, God, send me someone. Send me someone who can help me raise these children because I cannot do it alone. I need a physical person in my life. I need someone to love me again, but I need to love as much as I have been loved.
Okay. So I'll have to start from mine and sort of link up where Liz is. That's okay? As I said, I went to South Africa when I was 5 years old, but I grew up in definitely a non-Christian home. My parents were definitely not saved. The only time I heard the name of Jesus Christ was when I was getting a smack at the back of the head as a swear word, because that's all I knew, and I didn't know any better than that. So I had, they were wonderful parents, make no mistake. They were lovely parents. They did all the right things. But me being rebellious and arrogant and proud, which is normal for a youngster, nobody agrees with me? Oh, I'll pray for all the liars afterwards. Yeah, I got into the wrong group of people, went into the wrong places, did all the wrong things. It was wine, woman, and song, and that was all that mattered. And so we went through life. I met Pat, and I got married to her. So by the time I was 21, I was married, and I had my first child. But God was nowhere in our lives. We had no understanding, no thought of God in any part of our lives at all. Worked very hard, and we managed to move down to a place called Durban, which is on the coast. I was a scuba diver and a spear fisherman and a cray fisherman, and kept marine fish at home, so I did all those things. And we bought a home next door to some born-again Christians. I say that because when we heard it, we thought, oh. But they became our best friends. And so I use their names because it's easier to use a name than it is to use a nobody. Yeah. Lynn used to come around and she used to share, she used to talk to Pat. And she used to come and say, come to church with me on Sunday. I said, no, thank you. I'm not into going to church. So I said, please, come to church on Sunday. And she used to do this every week. I used to hide at 8 o'clock in the morning and pretend I wasn't there. Because I knew she would be coming to knock on the door to say, we're going to church, are you coming? Oh. And I thought to myself, how do I get rid of this woman? Understanding what the judge felt like now. The unjust judge. But she used to, and I said to her, Lynn, I'll tell you what. I will go to church with you once. And once only, and you promise you will never ask me to go to church again. She said, sure. I said, ah, gotcha. At last, I'm free. So the evening service came, the time came for the evening service. Okay, a church was maybe as big as this, and it had wooden pews. Do you remember wooden pews? Very hard, not to make you sit too long. I came in the door, and I sneaked into the back corner as far away as I could, because I was feeling very uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. I sat in the back corner, and the service began. We all had red hymnals. You know, remember the red hymnals? I opened the red hymnals, and they began to sing this power in the blood of the Lamb. I thought, oh, what kind of cult have I got into here? Breaking about blood, you know? I was like, oh, let me out of here. I can't get out because I'm in the corner now. Everybody will see me. Like, whoa. Anyway, pastor got up and he began to preach. And every word he said was about me. Absolutely every word. And I thought, Lynn, when I get you outside here, I'm going to give you a tongue lashing for telling this guy all about me. But she knew nothing about me. It was as though it was only me he was speaking to. And he came to ask me what sermon he preached. I have no idea. But all I know is it cut me to the heart. And it was just me he was talking to. So it came to the end of the sermon. And he said, if you know you need Jesus in your life, I want you to put up your hand. And I'm sitting there. Me? I'm a man. I don't do that. And if I put my hand up, I'll be embarrassed. Everybody will see me. I'm in the back corner. Yeah. Second time he said, if you know you need Jesus in your life, I want you to put up your hand. I thought, I know I need Jesus in my life, but I'm not putting up my hand. And he asked the third time. He said, if you know you need Jesus, I want you to put up your hand. Well, didn't put up my hand. I stood up, put up both hands, and put them into the light socket. Because it felt as though I'd put my finger into the electric plug. I was shaking all over. I was on fire. I was burning up inside. What is going on here? I could hardly stand. My knees were collapsing. It was just, I understand now, it was just the touch of the Holy Spirit. You see, I knew nothing about Jesus. That was the difference. I was blank and deaf, dumb, and stupid. And I just knew nothing about it. And I had such an encounter with the Lord that day. I went into that church black with sin. But I came out absolutely white. Set free from drugs, drink, language, you name it, I was free. I came out an absolute new creation. A total new creation. When I understand what the word says, you are a new creation. That's how I came out. I was totally different from when I went in. Absolutely different. I went to work on Monday morning. And I said to the guys on Monday morning, did you know that Jesus died for you? They said, yes. I said, well, why the hell didn't you tell me? Because nobody had told me that Jesus died for me. That's how ignorant I was. That was the 12th of March, 1978. Remember the day very clearly. In about the May, I got baptized in water by full immersion. And that was another wonderful experience. And about the September of 78, the guys in the church had been talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, but nobody really knew what it was all about. So being eager as I was, I wanted everything, you know. I've now encountered God. Whatever you have, Lord, I want it. So they told me about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh. And I was sitting there looking at the TV, sitting in my, we used to have bean bags. I think you have bean bags here. Bean bags, watching the TV. And I just felt, oh. I just need to go and just be alone with the Lord. And I went in, I knelt next to my bed, and I opened my Bible, and I said, Lord, I've heard about this Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand it. I don't know too much about it. But they say that it's a gift that you're going to give to us if you really want it. And if we ask for it, there's going to be an evidence that you speak in another language. Now, I don't know how this works, but here I am, and I'm going to do this. So I thought, well, what words can I use that are different? So my first words were rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. And next minute, the Holy Spirit hit me the same way. And tongues just began to flow and flow and flow and flow. I got so excited, I ran back into the lounge to tell my wife what had happened. And all I said was, she went, whoa. I couldn't speak English properly for a couple of days. That was the kind of experience I had with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it was wonderful. My relationship with the Lord and my walk with the Lord has always been a very, can I say, tangible stuff? Because that's how he knows it worked. I'm wired that way, to feel it, you know, and experience it. Anyway, we moved on, and we lived our lives together. And we went to one particular church, and an incident happened in the church that hurt our hearts. So we decided to pull back. Anybody experienced that before? Yes, I'm sure. Right. Pull back, and we said, and eventually we sort of drifted aside. You know, a coal on its own away from the fire gets cool very quickly. So we drifted back, and a couple of years later, I discovered that my wife was having an affair for 2.5 years with a man 17 years younger than herself. It was a shock to me, but when I started to talk about it, I found that everybody else knew, including my children, and they never told me. So I was the last to find out. It was devastating. But anyway, she ran off with this young man, and off she went, leaving me with the two children. And we got divorced eventually because, you know, she's not around. I really was devastated, and I went pretty much downhill from there, because it is a hard thing to deal with on your own, trying to look after two children as well. And within a short period of time, I'd met another lady. Her name was Barbara, and she was very much unsaved. And we decided to get married. So the night before we were going to get married, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Very clearly. So I said, it's okay, Lord, leave it to me. I'll sort this one out. The arrogance, you know. I'll sort it out, Lord. You solve the big problems. I'll sort out the small ones. And that's what it was. So I got married to Barbara, and it started off okay, and then it became really, really a rough ride. A real, real rough ride. And I thought, well, how am I going to get out of this? The only way I can get out of this is the Lord's help. So I used to get up 4 o'clock every morning, and I used to pray for her salvation. I used to pray, God, help me in this. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't want to do it. I don't know what to do here. And so in the May of 1992, she woke up one morning in the bed, and she said to me, Tony, how do I give my life to Jesus? Obviously, I didn't go to work that day. I shared Jesus with her, and she gave her heart to Jesus in the May. And in the July, we discovered that she had a brain tumor. The last words that she said to me when they were pushing her through to the operating theater was, he'll never leave me or forsake me, will he? I said, no, he's with you forever. And she went for the brain tumor operation, and she passed away a couple of days later. So here I was, a widow, without anyone. So I remember very clearly going to our Sunday morning service in the church and standing in the front. And I just said, Lord, here I am. I have no one now except me. So I'm giving myself to you free again. I'm free. I have no... You send me where you want me, Lord. So I can relate to that. Lord, here I am. Send me. Ready. Yay, God. So I was in this church. And after a Sunday morning service, this young lady came up to me. And she stood in front of me. And it was as though she had a light on in her head. You know that? It's like glowing, you know? And she said to me... I know that you've just been widow. We've been praying for your wife, and I know you've been widow. I'm a widow as well. My husband passed away when I was 29, and my youngest child was six months old, and she told me the story, and my heart went, oh. Anyway, we had a good chat, nothing more than that. And the Lord has given me in Jeremiah that the woman will seek the man, and she will say to the man, the Lord bless you. And she came to me and she said, can I give you a hug? I said, yeah. She said, the Lord bless you. I said, oh. Didn't think of it then. She walked away. And as she was walking away, the Lord spoke very clearly in my heart. She says, that's your new wife. I thought, oh, Tony, your wife's only been dead for 6 months. Now you're thinking about it, you know, like this brain runs wild, you know. And it was very, very clear that that's your new wife. Unbeknown to me, the Lord has spoken to Liz as well. So on the Tuesday, after the Sunday service, she phoned me up. And she said, I need to tell you something. It's something very strange. I said, I know what you're going to tell me. She says, no. You don't know what I'm going to tell you. I said, I know what you're going to tell me. She says, it's impossible. You can't know what I'm going to tell you. I said, I do know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that you're my new wife, aren't you? She says, how did you know? I said, the Lord told me. She said, and me. I said, well, we better meet and engage and get to know one another. And that's basically how we got together, is that we were in the same church. We never knew each other in the church. It was maybe 150, 200 people in the church. We never knew each other. And anyway, you carry on with it.
Remember, I had been praying, and every day, every Sunday morning, I would go to church and I would lay myself down prostrate on the floor and say to the Lord, Lord, I just commit myself to you. I empty everything of me out, and I would empty my handbag out. I would empty my keys, my car keys, my house keys, my life, whatever it was. I would say, Jesus, this is me. I'm emptying me out, and only you can put me together again. And one particular day, I stood up to worship, and there was this man standing up about to share the word, and the Lord said to me, that's your husband. And I said, oh God, no. My request was, Lord, please, he needs to be tall and dark hair, lots of dark hair, and I can feel safe and secure. You know, when he puts his arm around me. Lord, that's what I want. And the one thing I said, Lord, I want him to drink red wine with me. I'd never had that. I mean, never had someone share quiet moments like that, you know. It was just copious of alcohol before, but have a decent, nice glass of red wine. It was just something. You can tell God big things and small things because he's listening. We do share red wine every day, every week together when we share breaking of bread together. See, God does do it. We don't drink alcohol, but we share together now. Anyway, so the Lord said to me, this is your new husband. And I said, that your will be done. Your will be done. And instantly that I said, your will be done, Lord, I fell in love with Tony. It was the most amazing thing. It was as if the thunderbolt of heaven came down within me, and I looked at him and I thought, is this what love feels like? Is this what true, honest, pure love feels like? Without any form of amorousness in it, without any form of anything but a pure, godly love for a man. And I said, God, if this is what you want, tell him. Because I'm not telling him. Hence, now you know what obviously God did. He told him. Anyway, we met that day, and we met at the came to visit me in the morning and knocked on the door. We'll get to some spiritual stuff just now because it's all spiritual, really. We knocked on the door at my home, and he said, I looked at him and I said, well, I suppose if we're going to get married, maybe I should, what do I do? Just stick your hand out if you don't know what to do. Do I hug you? Do I shake your hand or just let you come in? Or are you a stranger? He is. I don't know anything about this man. Come in. So we sat down on the couch and we looked at each other, all very embarrassed and very coy. My children are at school, and I said, well, my name is, and I told him my name, my age, who I am. I told him everything about me from A to B, everything that you can think of, and it just flowed out. And I told him my whole life story, and he looked at me and he said, I am, and he told me his life story. And then we prayed. And we said, Holy Spirit, come. If this is truly of you, you bind us together. You anoint us together. Because now we're both mature Christians. You bring out whatever God's will is for our lives. Because I don't want to do life just for me anymore. I don't want my marriage to be just for us anymore. I want my life, his life, whatever our past is, I want it to be able to be used for your presence, for your glory. Because to experience the perfect will and the love of God is something you cannot keep. It's something you have to share. And you are called and you're compelled to share what Jesus has done for you. That was in November. On the 16th of January, we got married. When the Lord plays games with your heart, you just have to go along with the flow. Even though the church was very anti us getting married so quickly, we told them to go away, go and pray, because if God has confirmed this to us, God will confirm it to them. They came to us within a week later and said, we agree, your blessings to get married. On our wedding day, which is the 16th of January, 1993, he's very good at remembering dates, we had started to do just before our wedding, we had just decided we'd been called in to do ministry called Kingdom Advancement Ministries called CAM. And we were going to bring it into the church. And being our wedding day, which it was a very quiet affair, it was just something very small that we were just going to get married and get on with life, get on to church life, do Jesus things. This is what we're about. So on the morning we got married, but in the evening we actually prepared a banquet feast for the church, because we wanted to announce to the church we were doing something. God was calling people to come to meet the bride and be the bride and learn to know who the groom was. But it wasn't us. It was all about what Jesus was doing, because he was calling his people to go and evangelize. And so that's exactly what we did. So 6 o'clock in the evening, the church was opened up again, tables were set. We set out the tables, we made the food, we did everything. And the people streamed in on our wedding day. And we have always put the Lord first. We've never said, oh no, we'll go off first. We said we will do his work first. And that has been our testimony of loving God, serving God, doing things for God. It's always Him first. And we lay in bed this morning. I'm leaving a big chunk for you to share. We lay in bed this morning. We counted our blessings. And I can only but weep before the Lord and say, what an awesome thing He's done in 2.5 months of us being here in England. How He has blessed us. How He has provided for us. How He has given us. I said we would retire to do nothing. But He hasn't let us retire. I have got a job which I have to say is an absolute grace given to me. I nursed my mother through her cancer and her death. And I'd always said, God, if I could only do that again for You, I would do it. And I've got an opportunity to do exactly that now. And I am so blessed. I really am blessed to be able to go next to someone and love them, share them with them. If they've got dementia, it's a name. There's no other name that is above the name of Jesus. Dementia, Alzheimer's, no other name is above Jesus' name. And I have the opportunity with His anointing to lay hands upon this sick and announce the kingdom of God is here on their life and bring healing. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to go out and start work for the Lord. And it's just, the Lord's word was to me this morning in my reading was, go, the kingdom is right. I feel so excited. It doesn't matter about my past anymore. It doesn't matter about that anymore. It's what has He got for you to do today? And it doesn't matter how small it is. Some of these people that I will see, they've wiped them off. They say they are just a gaga kind of people. They're valuable. Jesus wants them saved. He doesn't want them to go to hell. And that is a big real world. We don't want them to go there. So Jesus is sending us all out. So please take up whatever calling God has got for you to do. And do it. Because He's going to reward you. You fill in the rest.
Amen. Oh, fill in the rest. When we were... We heard from the Lord that we were going to get married. I said, okay, Lord, I need to hear something from You. You need to confirm this. So I was running a home cell at the, or what do you call it, home group at a particular time. And I said, Lord, I want people to talk about marriage. Say something about marriage. Obviously, I didn't speak it out. I spoke it in my mind. So only God and me know what's going on. So I do this home cell, and I know what I'm doing, so I'm not sharing anything like that. I was doing a foundation series with the people that we used to do, and I knew that wasn't anything to do with it. So I shared with them, and after the meeting was over, I got into my car to go home, and a couple of people were standing next to me, and they were talking, just general talking. And then the one said to the other one, you know, when your marriage was going through a hard time, ping, ask the Lord for marriage. So, ping, there's the first one, you know. Keep your ears open. Okay, thanks, Lord. Now you need to talk to me about husbands and wives. So the following night, I was going to somebody else's home group. And I got to the door, and the lady opened the door, and she said to me, oh, Tony, I'm so sorry, but tonight we're sharing on husbands and wives. I said, oh, really? Oh, that's fine. Yeah, because I just lost my wife now. They didn't sort of want to. So they're talking about husbands and wives. I said, okay, Lord, that's two. I'll have another one, please. I need a scripture reading. And I got Ecclesiastes 10:9. It says, take unto you the wife that I has given to you all the days of your life. So I said, Lord, I think I hear clearly. This is my new wife. Hence we said, okay, we're going to get married. Took it to the church. And as Liz said, I said to the leaders of the church, lying in the bathtub, boom, 16th of January. I said, okay, is that when I must get married? 16th of January, fine. Went to the pastor of the church and said, we're going to get married on 16th of January. He said, no, whoa, slow down. Don't get excited about this. I said, no, the Lord told me, 16th of January. He says, no, slow down, Tony. I said, okay, you go and pray and you ask the Lord, asking the pastor to go and pray, you know. Get the Lord, Sure enough, came back a couple of days later. He says, you're right, 16th of January, you can get married. So we got married on the 16th of January, as Liz said. So we got married. We didn't go on honeymoon. We did everything in the church, and we left the following Monday. We went on our honeymoon. So we gave first to the Lord. But God has taken us through so much. This first thing I want to say is pray. God answers prayer. I prayed for Barbara to get saved. God saved her in His grace before she died. I know that she's saved. I know that she's with Him. And so people hear, pray. Don't think your prayers are not answered. Don't think He doesn't hear. He answers them, but not always in the way that you expect Him to or the way you tell Him to. How many pray like that? God, do it like this. He does it His way. And God is faithful in that. And as Liz said, I always say this, there's no thing impossible with God. There's no thing. Doesn't matter what the thing is, it's not impossible with God. He is able and more than able to do that. And He is able to speak into your heart very clearly. We need to begin to tune our ears in because He is talking to you consistently. But we are often tuned to the wrong station. We are often tuned to the wrong station. We need to just begin to tune our ears in. And God will begin to speak and use you wherever you are.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. Because we always think it has to be something reaching out and going out. But I think over the years we've learned a little bit of wisdom that it's not a matter of bashing someone with a scripture. No. It's rather loving them into the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's anything that can change a person's heart, it's love.
Yeah.
It's love. Because love does change things. Yeah. I used to go and share with a drug and alcohol rehab center. And I'd speak to the people there and I'd say to them, why did you start? Because they felt unloved. They had to join a gang to feel part of. That's why God created families. We're a family. We need to love one another and encourage one another. That's what He told us to do. More than anything else, we need to love and care for one another. And I encourage you, love the person next to you. Look out for them. If they're not here this week, just give them a little call and say, oh, we missed you in church today. You're not a policeman. You've got a caring heart. Jesus cared, and He loved more than anything else. He knew Judas was going to betray Him, but you know what? He still washed His feet because He loved him more than anything else. And, yeah, thank you that we have an opportunity to share. But, yeah, we love each other. It's nearly 25 years. Way! and we're here to love you and we're here to serve you.
Yeah.
So if we can help you in any way, and we'll do that. There you go.
The other thing that we chose to do after we got married was that was to put ourselves, or put Tony to put himself through Bible college. And I didn't actually fulfill writing the final testings, but I did it alongside him because I believed I'm called to walk alongside him. I don't need a title. I'm quite happy to be who I am. I know who my identity in God, but I know my identity is in my husband. But he did that. He studied. He's qualified. We've had our own church. We've raised it up from just the two of us from a home cell.
We had a home cell of 53.
Mm-hmm. And then we decided, right, our home is now far too small. We knocked a wall out of in our lounge, and we increased the size so that we can get more people in. And then we said, you know, this is ridiculous. I think God is sending us out to the field. And we started a church in a little tiny shop, and it grew and it grew and it grew. Yes, and then we retired from that to our farm. Handed the church over. You know, when the Lord calls you, it's a calling that stays, and you're called forever. Whether it's to serve Him personally or serve Him in the body, is just as long as you're serving Him. And we are here. We've chosen this to be our home. I actually came last year, sat in the back there, was sort of greeted by one or two people, but very, very casually. I was asked constantly, am I just a visitor? Just a visitor. Nobody ever picked up wanted to know my phone number, didn't ask me where I was from, didn't ask me, would you like to come again, didn't ask me whether you, maybe a home cell, home group, nothing. It was just a visitor coming in and a visitor going out. So if there's one thing I can say, when a visitor does come in the door, somehow, gently, find out who they are. Because had I not had this passion in my heart, I might never have come back in again. But because of the fellowship, because of the spirit that is in this fellowship, I knew that this would be my home church. So when I went back home in November last year, and I said to Tony, Tony, I know where we're going to church. When we leave this place in Vanderbijl Park, I know where we're going to have a church, where we will know we will be loved, where we'll be cared for, where we'll be part of a body, but also where the Spirit of God is moving. So let's go alongside it. Let's join with this church. Let's offer our gifts, whatever God has anointed us with, to come and serve alongside. I don't want a title. I don't want anything. I just want him to be glorified. I want to see this body grow. I want to see the church building grow. I want to see us evangelizing. I want to see us going out into streets. I want to see us going into homes. I want to see us going, picking up those young girls on the streets that are desperately looking for love. I want to see those drug addicts that are in the streets. Maybe we don't know where they are. I don't see many in Penrith, but I know they are there. There's vermin everywhere, and we need to find them and bring them the light of gospel, because that's what Jesus says when he said, go into the world, preach the gospel. And that's what we're here for, to be part of this body. And I hope 15 minutes is not gone.
Whoa.
Thank you both. That was a little over 15 minutes, but we don't mind, do we? Not at all. I'm just going to give a quick reading of the scripture and a quick introduction to what I'll be doing next time. I think it's important to read the Word of God, but thank you so much for that testimony. God works, God moves, God has his way. God will work with us as a people. God will work with us as individuals. God moves. When we give our lives to him, we become his children, his people, and he will look after us. He said, if we ask for bread, he will not give us a stone. If we ask for fish, he will not give us a serpent. Well, I'm just going to read. This is a kind of introduction to next time from the book of Deuteronomy. And I think this kind of sums up a little bit of what we'll be doing next week, but I think it's good to hear the word of God. Now, this is the commandment. I'll give an introduction. So the children of Israel have been all the way through the wilderness and are about to enter into the promised land. And this is Moses' final words to them, basically, before they go into the promised land. And the main words are listen or hear, remember, which I need all the time because my memory is so bad. But this is kind of a little bit of the start. But I'm just going to read this and then spend less than 5 minutes, and then that will be us finished. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them whilst you sit in your house, while you walk by the way, while you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill, hewn out of wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God, and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God shall be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you will say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers, as the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all the commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. We thank God for his word. The next chapter, the first little bit of the chapter, then goes on to say about not marrying the people of the foreign countries. And I think us today, as Christians, we are a holy people in Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile. And I still believe what Tony shared earlier, that the Lord told him, don't be unequally yoked. I think that is as pertinent today for us as Christians, young Christians, that we encourage them to marry into the family of God. Because one is alive and one is dead. Of course, God can do a work, but it seemed to me like a burden. And knowing from other people that I've met who have had that union but carry that spiritual burden on their back, it is hard, and God will let people, he gives them the command, but he will also let them take that burden if they choose to do that. And that is my heart as a pastor, to choose wisely. So the book of Deuteronomy is a reminder to go into the land, to take the land, but remember God's laws and his statutes. Today it is different. Today we have the law written on our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's not the law and tablets written on stone, but if we are in tune with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, as has been shared this morning, as many in this church have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are led by him. If we are led by him, he will let us enter in to the spiritual promised land of all goodness, all spiritual gifts, as Ephesians says. So much there, that's as far as I'm going to go. So that's an introduction to when we do Deuteronomy. And I was going to do a little bit, just a reminder of who we are as a church. We have a church constitution. We have a standard. Everybody is welcome into this church. As we said, we welcome the drug addict, the sinner, whatever people come in, we must love, unless we're just like a clanging cymbal. If we are all knowledge and no heart for love, we're just a clanging cymbal. We're called to love and to love and to love and love even when people do things wrong. But for our leaders within the church, those who stand up the front, the Sunday school teachers, the youth leaders, we do have a leader. People who are leading need to set an example. And we do have a standard that we've written down, all scripturally based, that we want to see. We don't want to look like the world. We don't want to be in the world. We want the leaders to lead the children. With precious children need to be led by people who set an example. Our house group leaders, the people from the front They need to set an example. None of us are perfect, of course. There's not one. You don't have a perfect pastor. Hallelujah, says everybody. We don't have a perfect leader up the front or in the Sunday school, but there is a certain standard. So thank you for your testimony. That was wonderful. We'll sing, take up our tithes and our offerings, and then everybody's welcome to stay for tea and coffee and food as you want.